الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين. ثم أما بعد، brothers and sisters in Islam, as a part of the process of rearing our children, we should also be very careful in the dua that we make for them. And what we mean by the dua that we make for them is that sometimes some of us get so angry that we say to our children, go to hell. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, you make dua that your children go to hell, they may just go. If you think this is not a dua, then you need to check the origin of a statement like this. Get out of my face and go to hell. Go to hell. You say this to your parents, you say this to your children, you say this to each other, you're making dua, and it just might be that your dua be accepted. And it may even be accepted for you. Because the angels, when you make dua for your brother, whether it is good or evil, then the angels say, why let him endure, then may you have the same. Brothers and sisters in Islam, as a part of the process of raising our children, we have to be very careful on how we treat each other, husband and wife, um and her. We should not allow them to see us argue, and we're going to argue, but we should not allow the children to see us have these arguments as though we need to be in a boxing ring. Brothers and sisters in Islam, those of you who are parents, you should also be very careful in not trying to show favorites among your children. Even though it's natural to have a favorite, be very careful of not showing the favoritism over one child over another. And you should be very careful, brothers and sisters in Islam, to not say to your children, don't believe your own. Don't believe Abby, he's a liar. Don't believe your mother, she's a liar. She doesn't tell the truth. She's not honest. Don't do this, brothers and sisters. Even though you have enough scars to make you do this, seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to restrain your nafs. For surety, for those who restrain their nafs and fear standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them jannatul ma'wa. And lastly, but not at least, brothers and sisters in Islam, we should be very careful on how we dress our children. We should dress our children in a manner that makes them look like Muslims. And if we are enjoining them to do this, and we ourselves are not doing it, then what type of example do you think we're setting for? Brothers and sisters in Islam, we should make sure that our children, when they go to school, whether it is a Muslim school or a Catholic school, that they are distinguished as a Muslim. That they have some type of demarcation in their comportment, that they are Muslim. Get the little ones to love putting a little handkerchief or scarf on their head. Get the little ones to love putting a kufi or something on your fowl, so that you can be distinguished and have the psychology of a Muslim. Because for surety, brothers and sisters, the clothing has a psychological effect on the individual. No doubt. The way you dress has an effect on how you think. You think about it among yourselves, those of you who commit sin. May Allah forgive you and all of us. When you want to do something wrong, you take off your kufi. When you want to do something wrong, you take off your imam. Why? Why? Don't say that the clothing has nothing to do with it. It does. Impress on your children, brothers and sisters, and impress on yourself as an example to change the actual clothing that you wear so that the Muslim children can grow up being proud of being a Muslim and not coming to the master or whatever with Mickey Mouse or Hulk Hogan or whatever on their chest. Pictures of all these kuffar who are going to the hellfire, glorifying these individuals, had their hats turned around. Dreadlocks. How can you know your children are wearing dreadlocks? How can you allow your children to dress like Simpsons? This is old cartoon. How can you do it? And say that you're wearing them as Muslims. How can you allow your children to walk around with their pants hanging? can you do it? Brothers and sisters, if we don't take responsibility of raising our children properly, if we don't take the responsibility of teaching our children and forming our children, then we, brothers and sisters, as the Prophet said, we're not only our entity. We are responsible for those things that are under our care, and we're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on how we taught them, or the lack of how we didn't teach them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us examples for our children. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the courage to teach our children the Quran and love the Quran and teach them the Sunnah and love the Sunnah and teach them about Allah and love of Allah and teach them about the Messenger of Allah and the love of the Messenger of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, to make our schools Islamic schools. Not Muslim schools, Islamic schools, where the boys are separated from the girls, where the hijab is observed, where the Quran is being recited throughout the classroom. We ask Allah for this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the resources to teach our children that the best education is the education of Islam, and that these other things are only bonuses. Because as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَمْ يَعْرَفَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ رَبَّهُ فَكَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ شَيْئًا. He said that the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if he knew everything and he didn't know his Lord, it is as though he didn't know anything. We need to impress this on their minds, brothers and sisters, and we ask Allah to give us children in schools like this. أقول قولي هذا وأقول لي هذا من نفاذ المسلمين أجمعين في كل مكان. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، brothers and sisters in Islam, there is a disease among the many amrad or diseases that has plagued this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this disease specifically has plagued us in the United States. We've talked in the past during the khutbah for the Eid, and in a few of the khutbahs for Jum'ah, and in lectures, and in classes, and in halaqat after Fajr and Maghrib, and just in casual speech as we walk through the streets and have our aqiqahs and our walimahs, we talk about this disease. And the origin of this disease in itself is not a disease. The origin of this disease is not a disease. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed, but it has become a disease. And that disease, brothers and sisters, is kathratu talaq, is the abundance of divorce. The Muslim can no longer boast. The Muslim can no longer brag.
And when we say boast and brag, we mean boasting and bragging in the positive sense and the halal sense. Because in some cases, boasting is halal. In some cases, bragging is halal. According to the circumstances. And according to the niyyah of the individual. There used to be a time for Muslims when we could boast and brag and talk about our marriages staying together. But now the Muslims have fallen to the same category as the kuffar. And the kuffar say, among them, the people who are the worst of creatures, the people who don't have any guidance or a book to guide them, that out of every 3 marriages in this country, 2 end up in divorce. 2/3 of all marriages in the United States end up in divorce. And I would go as far as to say that the Muslims are passive, especially among the so-called indigenous Muslims, especially among the so-called homegrown Muslims. Divorce is way past 2 out of 3. It's probably 4 out of 3. And it has gotten to the point now where this disease, the origin of it, which is halal, it has gotten to the point where there can be 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 15 brothers sitting in the masjid out of any of the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this country. You choose the state and you'll find 6 or 7 or 10 or 15 brothers that know what 4 or 5 other sisters sitting right there in the same masjid look like with no clothes on. When they are within that. This one's been married to this one, and that one's been married to this one, and that one's been married to that one, and that one to this one, to the point when we come together for an haqiqa, or walima, or jum'ah, or anything. I know what you look like behind closed doors, and you know what I look like behind closed doors. Where's the privacy? Where's the khulwa? Where's the modesty? When my wife knows what you look like, and your wife knows what I look like, and you had her, and then you go back to her, and you divorce her, and you go back to her, and you divorce her. And this brother's had her, and that brother's had her, and this brother's had her, and that brother's had her. If this is not a disease, brothers and sisters, I'm not standing on this minbar. Divorce after divorce after divorce, and the desire for the divorce. Give me a khulwa, give me a khulwa, give me a khulwa, give me a khulwa. Say it to empty parlor. Say divorce me, say divorce me. To the point where we don't even know, and we don't even care if we divorce incorrectly or not. The woman is on her menstrual, and you pronounce divorce. You just get intimate with her, and you pronounce divorce. You ask for a divorce for stupid reasons, you women in this land. You ask for a divorce for stupid reasons. Stupid. Stupid reasons. And the man stupidly gives it to you. The man stupidly gives it to you. And this causes disease, brothers and sisters, because now the children have seen 4 different abbeys in the house. On 5 different occasions. 4 different father figures. 3 different mother figures. And then we rely on the unauthentic narration attributed to the Prophet, أَبْضَغُ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْحَلَالِ. The things that Allah, out of all the things that are halal, that Allah hates the most is divorce. Throw these hadiths in the garbage. The Messenger of Allah never said anything like this. تَزَوَّجُوا وَلَا تُطَلِّقُوا. Marry and don't divorce. فَإِنَّ الْحَلَاقَ يَهْزُ مِنْهُ الْعَرْشِ. Because divorce shakes the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throw this hadith in the garbage. Don't keep staying together if you need to get a divorce based on these hadith. But if you don't need to get a divorce, you need to try to stay together. The reason why, brothers and sisters, we are having so many divorces are too many. The khutbah would have to be in 10 parts. At least. At least 10 weeks to talk about why we have so many divorces. Wallahu a'lam, how many weeks it would take. But one of them, brothers and sisters, is because we're not choosing to mate properly. We're not choosing to mate properly, brothers and sisters. We are more concerned about our car than we are our wives. We're more concerned about our dress and our overgarment than we are on selecting a husband. We're not fixing, we're not collecting them properly, brothers and sisters. And we're not giving it our all in all when we make the selection. A castle, monstrous, believing in Jesus as the Son of God. My grandfather, when I asked him, giving him power, before he died, a castle on his way to the hellfire. And I can say this. I can say this. Don't ask me after the khutbah. Why did you say it? I can say this. He's on his way to the hellfire because he didn't take the house. I asked him after giving him power, Grandpa, what kept you married for 16 years? My mother, when I asked her, who was over 60 years of age, can you ever remember my grandfather, my grandmother having an audience and him raising his voice at her? She said no. She's over 60 years old, the oldest girl in my family, the oldest of the daughters. Over 60 years old, she said, I can never remember my father raising his voice at my mother. And when I asked him, what kept you together, Grandpa? He pointed to a stack of books on the right side on the end table next to his bed. Piled up the Bible. Because of this right here, son. Point to the Bible. And that's why he had a so-called successful marriage. And I say so-called, because it wasn't based on Quran and Sunnah. But the fundamentals of this marriage was from Islam. And he attributed it to a foolish, misguided piece of garbage that he called the Bible. And you have the Quran. And you have the Sunnah. And you have the way of the Salaf, our rightly guided predecessors. And you get divorced on a Monday, and you get married on a Monday and divorced on Wednesday. And we talk about we're following the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of our rightly guided predecessors. How can this be, brothers and sisters? Because we're not, number one, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Me and you, all of us, we're not fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enough. We're not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in iman. Enough. We're not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us patient and forgiving and forbearing. Enough. And this is one of the reasons why, brothers and sisters, that the brother who's sitting next to you knows what your wife looks like with no clothes on. This is the reason. This is the reason why the sister who's sitting next to you right now, she knows what your husband looks like. And we keep doing it over and over and over again to the point where all of us are going to be like a big communal family. Not a community, a communal family. Because we don't care. We spend no time on trying to keep our family together. We spend more time, brothers, on our cars and sports and exercising and all these things that are going to end at the grave. When your family is the most important thing, even the affairs of the masjid shouldn't come before your family. The affairs of the masjid should not come before your family. And if you lose your family because of that, that's on you. MashaAllah. Allah wills it, and you assist it. Brothers and sisters in Islam, if we don't start paying more attention to the family and more attention to our husbands and more attention to our wives and our children and stop this reckless act of divorce and try to stick it out and try to be more patient and more forbearing, brothers and sisters, wallahi, billahi, we're going to destroy ourselves. We're going to destroy ourselves, brothers and sisters. Stop asking for divorce so much, sister. Stop asking for divorce. Stop asking for this thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implies in the Quran that he dislikes. Implies in the Quran that he dislikes. Because for surety, brothers and sisters, if it were not for the naming system and the system of inheritance in Islam, all of our bloods would be mixed up and we wouldn't know who's who and where who's from. Because of the abundance of this disease, the origin of it is halal, which is divorce. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين، ثم أما بعد.
Brothers and sisters, another angle to the stage of divorce is the whispering, the gossip, the backbiting, the slander, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Allah knows best the deliberate, intentional desire to break up families. And Allah knows best. Brothers and sisters, the ulama, the scholars of Islam, are almost in unanimous agreement that one of the biggest tricks of shaitan, one of the biggest tricks of shaitan, is to separate a man from his wife. Not to make you commit shirk, not to make you commit kufr or bid'ah, but to make you separate from your wife. وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. This is what Allah says in the Quran. And what they learn from the two angels, Harun and Marun, is nothing except to cause separation of a man from his wife. This is a big trick from Shaitan. So then who are you, sister, who calls the sister up and encourages her to get a divorce? Who are you? No, I'm not Shaitan. How can you say that? لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. May Allah curse him. May Allah curse Shaitan. Listen to what he says, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لَا وَاللَّهِ مَا صَنَعْتَ شَيْئًا. I swear by Allah, you haven't done anything. Just because the person said this and that? That ain't no big thing. What's so special about that? You get them to say this and say that. But then the others come back at the end of the day. And they said, مَا تَرَفْتُهُ حَتَّى تَرَفْتُ بَيْنَهُ وَأَهْلِهِ. I speak with the person, I don't leave him until I separate him from his family. And then Shaitan, أعوذ بالله منه وجنوده. I speak directly with Allah from Shaitan and his forces and his army. Shaitan, أعوذ بالله منه. He draws near to him. يقربه. He draws near to him. ويجنيه. And closer to him. And then what does Shaitan do? يلتزمه. He hugs him and says, yes, you're the one. What? You're the one that did the best job for the day. You're the one that did the best job for the day. So now tell me, sister, tell me, brother, when you pour or spit or shoot the arrow of poisonous into the heart of another brother or sister against each other who's married, who are you working for? Are you working for Ar-Rahman, who's over his throne and a man of ascending his majesty, or you're working for Iblis, who also has his throne over the world? Which one are you working for? I think you're working for Shaitan. In fact, I know you're working for Shaitan. Because Shaitan desires to separate a man from his wife. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we better get a grip on ourselves. We better get a grip on these marriages, and we better run away from the thought of divorce. Saying I divorce you should be like a piece of pork chop on your tongue. This is how much afraid of it we should be. We could try to keep these things together, brothers and sisters, at all halal courts. Whatever it takes halal, we should do it. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, as long as it's halal, we should do it, brothers and sisters. Because wallahi, brothers and sisters, what's going to be the difference between us and the kuffar? What makes us distinguish between the kuffar? What are the things that make us separate from the kuffar and distinguishable from the kuffar? One of those things is unity. And if the unity cannot be done among the Muslims in general, or I should say the Muslim marriages, then how can we expect the Muslims worldwide to be unified if we can't stick with our wives and our husbands? How can we run across the countryside from the hill to the dale, crying and yelling, screaming at the top of our lungs about unity, and you've been married 5 times, 6 times, 7 times, 8 times? I know a sister's been married 14 times. I know her personally. 14 times. You're going to tell me, sister, it was all their fault? This is foolishness, brothers and sisters in the class. If we don't get a grip on these mad brothers and sisters, then we're no better. We're no better than the people that we're trying to call to Islam. What's the difference? Except that my name is Abdullah and yours is Fatima. What's the difference? I have a beard and you have a kimono. What's the difference? Stop asking for these divorces, sisters. Stick it out. Brother, stop divorcing these women so much. Hold on to your women. Be children. Keep them out of the men's faces. Keep the sisters out of the men's faces. And you women, you should encourage your husbands to stop looking at women so much. Me, all of you, all of us should do this. All of us should do this. Starting with me. Because there's a means to making our marriages separate. And if we don't strive to get a bigger mattress so we can stop bumping into each other in here, and we don't strive to get a better mattress and a bigger mattress, then we are part of that separating factor. Because if we like to be in a situation where the women bumping into the men and the men bumping into the women and yet squeezed by my wife, then you have to be going to say no if you like this. Don't tell me you're from Allah's army. You're from the Hizb al-Shaytan. From the army of the Shaytan. If you like bumping into my wife, and I like bumping into your wife, and I like to stand in front of the masjid, whatever you're doing, and you can be doing some work, when the women come out, you're squatting for them, waiting for them, waiting to come out so you can see what they got on. And your sisters are dressing up for them. You should be dressing up for your husband in the house. Coming out saying you got an overgarment on, and the overgarment is supposed to be something that's not dazzling. And you coming out in front of the men, causing divorce. So now the brother looks at you, and he throws his wife in the garbage. Brothers and sisters, we better get grip on ourselves. We better stop this divorce, brothers and sisters. We better hold on to these women, and you better hold on to your husband, and stop thinking the grass is green on the other side. It may be that some people take care of their grass better. And depending on what side the sun is on that grass. Don't be so quick to get out of it, sisters, and don't be so quick to divorce her, brothers. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have his favor over those who want separation all the time. And sometimes it's ratchet to get a divorce. But in most cases, brothers and sisters, we're playing games. We're playing games. We're playing games. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and have mercy on us and guide us and make us restrain our tongue. Except for the times when we should be speaking out. Except for the times when it's necessary, may Allah help us restrain our tongue and not say this word which has become a disease, which origin, the origin of it is halal. It's halaq. It's halaq of the disease, brothers and sisters. May Allah protect you.